Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ja, hejsan och välkomna igen till ännu ett avsnitt av den fantastiska podden Rock Bottom. Och normalt så brukar jag ju sitta här med den undersköna Erika. Men Erika är lite sjuk idag och tyckte att det var jobbigt att gå upp ur sängen. Och det får vi respektera. Så att jag fick alldeles själv åka in till stan och ta mig till ett jättecharmigt hotell här inne i stan. Och träffa en kvinna som jag har träffat många gånger förut. Men det var länge sedan nu. Och hon är representant för ett riktigt klassiskt årtionde 80-talet. Vi pratar om Doro Pesch. Welcome Doro!
Hey, good to be back. Here in Sweden, yes, thank you for having me.
So, of course, we always love to have you here. You represent pretty much the classic German rock. Even from the 70s, not you, but the Scorpions and everything started there. Yeah. And then you moved on to the 80s with Warlock.
Yes,
and it was classic 80s rock.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were almost alone being a woman.
Oh, it didn't matter. You know, I never felt it was, you know, so different. I always felt good being a metalhead. And I always felt very respected and loved and supported by all the other bands or musicians. And I was so lucky to go on tour with, like, my heroes. Like, Judas Priest was my first tour. Was my first time.
Oh, you started out with Judas Priest?
Yeah, my first tour with Judas Priest. They were my heroes. And then the second tour in 87 was actually with my favorite singer, Ronnie James Dio.
And what a great guy he is.
Yes.
The nicest guy in the world.
We miss him so much.
Every day.
So I could learn from the best, but I was always treated so good, so I never felt like, you know, that it was any different. It was just one guy from the band, the singer, and
but all other guys in rock bands, they can turn around and they can look at other guys and hang with other guys.
Yeah.
You couldn't hang with other girls,
no,
really, because there were no
true.
One.
Yeah, that's true. One festival, it was Monsters of Rock in Kassel-Donnington. It was 86 and I had some new stage clothes, so I needed somebody to help me, like zipping it up and stuff. And then I thought, oh, maybe I get like a nice lady to help me. There was no one there, no ladies, no girls, no women. And then I asked, you know, the guys in my band to help me. But it was sometimes maybe a little bit lonely, but it was all okay. And there were definitely some great girls doing it. Like, I loved Rock Goddess, band of England,
yeah.
Turner, I think she was a great singer. Of course, Lita Ford, Girls' School, Lee Aaron of Canada, Lita Ford, we were all great friends. So, yeah, so we weren't many, but we all got along great.
And I grew up as a big Runaways fan. I started the Runaways fan club in Sweden.
Oh, did you? Oh, cool.
So, but even back then, you thought, okay, finally girls are taking a part in rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah.
But look at today, yeah. It's still the same. It's very few women in rock.
Yeah, got a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit. Not, I mean, we're talking 30 years here.
Yeah, that's right. But when I see the fans, it's sometimes like almost 50-50 or 40-60%. Like, and in the 80s, it was maybe 95% guys. So I think that definitely changed. But yeah, of course, there need to be more women. And sometimes when we choose a support band, sometimes I think, man, yeah, I want to get, you know, some band with like a great girl singer or all girls. And we had many, many support bands from Sweden. Crucified Bach,
oh, yeah,
which was
cool
a
band.
Great, no?
Yeah.
All girl band. Such a great attitude. Liv from Sister Sin. We took Sister Sin out on the road in America. And yeah, in Crucified Barbara, we did Germany and Russia. And another band from Sweden, Fatal Smile. And they're all guys, but they know how to dress, you know. They were better than any girl, you know, like they had the down, the hair, the makeup. They were like doing the, what a great show. And yeah, but I think, yeah, they definitely need some more women. Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is it that holds women back in rock? Is it the guys who say, stop, you can't come in here? Or is it women who go, oh, I don't want to do this. I probably don't have a chance. What is it that holds women back?
I guess you definitely need to catch fire, you know, and to, you know, that when you get into metal, you need people who hook you up with the good stuff, you know. And I think you need maybe an older brother or, you know, people in school or in your workplace, you know, to show you the real good metal stuff.
Or a metal father.
Or a metal father, that's right, you know. So, yeah, I think you need a good introduction. And of course, pop music, you can always see it on TV, you can hear it on radio.
Yeah, yeah, and women are almost equal in pop music.
Yeah, that's right. And I tell you, it's so much fun. I love it. I couldn't imagine having a life without metal. So I definitely, you know, I think, yeah, you need some people who hook you up with the good records and bands. And, you know, and I think when you see one time a great concert, that's it. You know, you just, yeah. But I don't know, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe you don't want to go alone, so you definitely need friends, you know, and you need friends to start a band too, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep a band and that everybody's on the same page and that you want the same things, you know, and, you know, that you have the same passion, you know. Sometimes people, they just want to hang out and maybe you rehearse two nights a week, and some people want to rehearse seven nights a week. And in our first bands, we had the rule, we rehearsed every day, no matter what. And, you know, so it was Christmas, New Year's Eve, every day.
Christmas even?
Yes, Christmas. And then you can imagine our parents, you know.
Hey, I'm off to the studio.
Yeah, it was every day. And then we had a rule because I was working when I had my first bands, and I always came late to rehearsal because, you know, traffic was bad.
Because you're a woman. Women are always late.
Yeah, we have to do some stuff, you know, like putting on makeup, that always takes forever. But I was really working even without makeup. I always came late. And then we had the rule, if somebody comes late 5 minutes, it's 50 euro. I don't know how much that is in Sweden.
And it was marks back then, I guess.
Yeah, marks. Yeah. Marks, which was, that was even more. It felt even more. And yeah, 50 Deutschmarks. And I tell you, and then I had to pay a couple of times 50 Deutschmarks. And then I came punctual. I couldn't afford it anymore. It was like,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
so
that's
it was strict, man. It was strict, yeah, in the beginning.
That's
yeah.
Okay. In hindsight, what do you feel that Warlock achieved as a band?
I think, and we were at the right time in the right place. It was like the beginning of when metal became huge. It was great. I think being a German band, I always thought it's a disadvantage because a band, you know, whatever, America, England, they, you know, it was cooler. English was their
it was tough for Swedish bands too.
It was. I bet. And, you know, and we couldn't speak English at all. So our first lyrics, it was all translated throughout a dictionary. And sometimes I think it made no sense, but it sounded metal. And I think it was just a little bit harder. And and then when we played one festival, I think it was the door opener. It was Monsters of Rock in 86. We did two in Germany, but one in England, Castle Donington. And I tell you, and the fans, they were so supportive. And I think we did a good show. And then everybody said, okay, let's give that German band a chance. And then we got our first worldwide record released. And then we could go to America. And that was actually a big, big deal. And, you know, and I always wanted to go to America, you know.
And you live in America.
Yeah. I was just having a little chance going there for 3 days. It was a little promotion tour in 1986. And then after 2 days, I thought, man, I want to stay. I want to stay.
That's what I felt when I was there.
yeah, it was. And back in the 80s, in America, everyone was, you know, you have a great idea. Oh, awesome. You have a crazy idea, even better. And in Germany, when we were working, you know, people were more like critical and stuff. And, you know, and then when I came to America, that's the reason why I think the Triumph and Agony album came out so good, because it was new energy, free. You could just, you know, let it all out. I could just be myself more than I felt when I was in Germany in a studio. Oh, it was always a nightmare. Everybody was fighting and stuff. And, you know, we even could record a record. There was a miracle.
So when did you move to America?
In 86.
Oh, you moved there?
Yeah, 3 days promotion tour. Yeah. And then I said, I want to stay. And then
So you pretty much lived there for 30 years.
Yeah. Then my dad, he got sick. And then I thought, oh, I got to have a little place in Germany as well. And then I traveled back and forth. And I got the green card after a long wait, I think 5-6 years. And then I got the green card. Now I'm always either in America or in Germany or touring all over the world.
Oh, so you do still live in Germany sometimes?
I have a little place there.
Now, in Düsseldorf?
Usually I'm on tour.
In Düsseldorf?
So yeah. Mm-hmm. It's close to my mom. She's a little bit older now, so I have to take care of her.
Of course.
You know, she always supported me, took care of me, and now it's my time.
When you're in America, what do you miss about Germany?
Oh, actually, I don't miss so much. I just miss my mom.
Sauerkraut.
I tell you, that's a myth. In Germany, I didn't grow up with sauerkraut. I think it's maybe, I don't know if it's more a Bavarian thing. And, you know, you have once in a year sauerkraut.
It's like people think we eat Swedish meatballs every day. We don't.
The same. And I tell you, when I first came to New York, and then everyone said, oh, you're from Germany, German chocolate cake, we love. There is no German chocolate cake. That doesn't exist.
The Schwarzwald.
Schwarzwald, it has a little chocolate on top, but everyone said, oh, German chocolate cake. And it's, sometimes, you know, like things, you know, maybe a family came there, did something, but it's different, you know, it's not so realistic, but it sounds good. You know?
In Warlock, there was a lot of band members leaving. Eventually, you were the only one left in the band. What happened?
Actually, we started, we were all kind of friends. In the beginning, I was in a band called Snakebite, then Beast, then Attack, and then Warlock. And it was pretty much all the same band members, and everybody was, you know, leaving the band, getting back into the band, you know, starting a new band, starting another band, having two bands. So it was like a free-for-all. And then we got together as Warlock. And then, you know, it was quite successful. We had no idea why and how, but we got our first record deal, and we thought maybe we will sell 100 records the most. And then suddenly it was in 1 month, it was overwhelmingly like 25,000, and we had no idea that people would even know about our band. And we weren't professionals, and I still had a day job. I was a graphic artist, so some guys, they just did it as a hobby, even though we had to rehearse every day. And then the pressure started to be on when we did our second album, Hellbound. And suddenly, you know, some guys, they weren't sure if they want to do it. And, you know, and then by the third record, it got really difficult, because the record company back in the day, they had so much power, and it was such a huge industry. So they told us what they wanted to hear, so more radio-friendly sounds, that meant more pop. The lyrics, they couldn't be as tough and metal and dark. You know, we had to change everything. And then we got into big fights with everybody. And so everybody tried to take over, had nothing to do with the band. And then the first guy left. He said he was so fed up, you know, he doesn't want to do it anymore. So he left. And then we sat down, the record company guy said, okay, you all have to be committed. You know, we believe in you guys, but you have to play the game. The second guy said, no, I don't want to fucking do it. So, you know, it was the bass player, he left. And then,
so you were all alone.
Yeah, all alone. And then actually, when I came to America, I met this guy, Tommy Bohlen, which we played together the first time in 30 years at Sweden Rock. Last year, we celebrated this big album, Triumph and Agony, which is still one of my favorites with All We Are on it and all these other, I think, really great songs. And yeah, and Tommy, he came into the band because he played on the record, he played on our demos, and then it was obvious, man, he has so much energy and so much positive energy. And he's a very unique player. He's like sweating, bleeding in a second. And, you know, and he's a powerhouse, and I liked him. And yeah, he's full of life, full of energy. And, you know, I thought, man, he is in the band, you know, we got to do it. So we had two Americans and two Germans. That didn't go too well, you know, it was kind of okay. And then we had actually a manager in America who was great, and the manager in Germany. And then that guy took the name, and he had no right to do it, but he practically stole
the name. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we were deep trouble, and I thought, fuck it, let's do it anyhow. We use the name, it's our name. And then the judge put a stop to that, because he said, no, if we ever see that name Warlock again on a poster, you have to pay, like, I think 50,000 Deutschmarks. We thought, what? And then we tried it. The Force Majeure record was in the making. It was after Triumph and Agony, which was so successful and great tour with Ronnie James Dio, and everybody kind of like knew who that band Warlock was worldwide. It was the first success. Yeah, and then we couldn't use it anymore. And then some people said, hey, call it Doro. Maybe the fans will connect and they will know who it is. And the record company said, we are not interested in having another band's name, because then nobody knows, and we, you know, supported you guys. And it was a mess.
No, and Doro was unusual enough to use as a band name.
Yeah, and actually as a singer, you know, it was like, yeah.
But do you still feel that Doro was a band, or was it your solo career?
Well, I think it was a band. It was a band, and I'm always a team player. I love to have a band. I'm an only child, so I always like to have brothers and sisters. So, and now the lineup, yeah, we are together for so long. My bass player, Nick Douglas, he's in the band 28 years. My drummer, Johnny D, is in the band 25 years. Luca, our Italian guitar player, he's, I think, 11 years in the band. And Bas, he's close to 10 years. And now I reconnected with Tommy. And Tommy Bohlen, who played on the Triumph and Agony, and he was a great guy. We always stayed friends. He always hopped on stage when we played in America, either in New York or L.A. And then I called him like about 2 years ago, and I said, hey, Tommy, you know, the Triumph and Agony album is almost 30 years, you know, like ago, and shall we celebrate, and shall we do some special shows? And he said, oh, I was waiting for that phone call for so long. And yeah, and then we did it. And the first show was actually Sweden Rock. And I thought, oh, my God, such a big show, you know, no warm-up show. And we wanted to play the whole entire Triumph and Agony album for the first time.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Some songs we have never rehearsed, some songs we've never played live. Yeah, and then we did some rehearsals, and man, some songs sounded so nice, so good. And then we did this show, and I think it was pretty good. Yeah, and then we said, hey, let's do it, you know, a couple of more times. And then we did Norway Rock, and it was raining and shitty weather. And then 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, we went to our hotel room, we're jamming. And then Tommy and me, we came up with this song, If I Can't Have You, No One Will. And I thought, oh, that's nice, like passionate, brutal love story. And I talked to Johan, and on the last Amon Amarth album, I did one duet with Johan. It was called A Dream That Cannot Be, and it was great, and I love Amon Amarth. And then I said, Johan, we have another idea. Maybe it could be another duet. And it was not the plan before, you know, when I sang on their album, I didn't have, you know, in my mind that we would do it again. But when we had the song, I thought, man, this might be something for Johan. So I called him, I sent him the song, and the chorus was kind of done. And I said, hey, Johan, maybe you have an idea for the verses, for the lyrics. Yeah, and then he came up with the verses. So we recorded that song all together. It might be the second single and video. Yeah, and then I felt, man, Tommy has so good energy. And then we were working more and more on this album, and he played many solos, many licks. He played in All for Metal and Turn It Up. And yeah, and now we want to do once in a while some special shows, playing the Triumph and Agony album and maybe some, you know, old classic Warlock songs. And maybe even recording next year, Triumph and Agony live album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So what can you say about the Forever Warriors and Forever United?
Yeah, it's
that's
the
a
first
double album.
Yeah, the first one. And
25 songs. Yeah. Are you crazy?
Yeah, crazy. That's right. But it was all, yeah, it just came out. It was all flowing. And I had like 35 songs, even more. And I thought, oh man, cutting it down to 10 songs or 12 songs on the normal album. I called the record company. I said, well, I have so many songs. I think they're all very special and really good ones. And I said, can I do a double album? And I said, well, in this day and age, nobody's doing it anymore. You know, sometimes in America, they just do 1, 2, 3 songs on a single or 12-inch or, you know, it's not anymore physical, like vinyl or CDs. So, and then I said, yeah, but I want to do the real thing with vinyl, double vinyl, 2 double vinyl, and, you know, and CD and a double CD, double album.
The last time I heard about it was Use Your Illusion by Guns N' Roses in 91.
Oh, wow, is that 17 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think so.
No, but what did you say, 91?
91, I think it was, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, that could be. But I felt there were so many great songs. Yeah, let's do it. So, yeah.
You crammed it there.
Yeah.
I heard that some of the songs has sort of a political message this time.
Yeah, some of the songs they do. Like, for example, the song Resistance has a French title. Mm-hmm. But I wrote it when I we're voting in America. When you have a green card, you can do everything. You can work, you know, live there, everything, but you can't vote. So, and when the whole voting process, which is always, you know, how it is, a big party and stuff, it already felt really weird. And, you know, and I thought, oh my God, you know, and the song is about that we all have to stick together, fight the good fight, stand up for something and stand your ground to not let the other, you know, people and forces take over. I think times are crucial. And then that song was written about it. And mm-hmm. I believe the metalheads, they are people with heart and soul, and they know what's right and what's wrong. They feel something. They're passionate about something, and they know about good stuff. So, yeah. But I tell you, I think times are really, man, tragic. So, yeah, and in America, I felt it was changing so drastically from when I first came there in the early 80s. You know, now it's like not the same anymore. You know, I came to America and everybody was happy and free and you could really live your dreams. Everybody was very tolerant, could be yourself. And now it's like, it's very, very intolerant and, you know, and very aggressive, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's not the same anymore. And people start fighting. And then even in the studio, you know, certain people have different political, you know, thoughts. And I thought, oh my God, you know, I was like, yeah, it's not the same anymore. So I hope it will change for the better. But yeah, the whole world, I think, yeah. That's the reason why I wanted to put out the double album now and not wait a year to put out the second album, you know, first now one and then 1 year later. You never know. So, yeah, I wanted to keep it fresh. And
you have some guest musicians on the album too.
Yeah.
Who have you invited?
Yeah, since I'm here in Sweden, I'm so happy that Johan Hegg is on this album again and that we are doing this duet. If I can have you, no one will. I think it's killer song. I love it. I love his voice. I love his energy. I love his live performance. I love that band. So that's for me, like personally, it's definitely a total highlight. Then we have Doug Aldrich playing guitar.
From Whitesnake,
yeah? Yeah, Whitesnake, Dio and Dead Daisies. I actually met him last year in Skogskoyet, the festival here in Sweden. And yeah, we became great friends and I think he played awesome. And then we have one anthem, it's called All for Metal, which is the first video.
And these guests are in the video as well?
Yeah. Check it out. You can see it on YouTube. Of course, for free, you can see it all over. And it's Mille singing, Johan Hegg, Sabaton, Ross the Boss, Jeff Waters, Chuck Billy of Testament. Everybody's in there.
It's a big rock and roll party.
Yeah. When you see the video, it's so funny. And then you see, fans, like dancing in the mud, and, you know, and like stage diving from the mud. It's like, oh, it's so cool. And these shots are in slow motion, and it really feels, oh, it feels so good. And it's a feel good song.
Mm-hmm. And one song is about Lemmy.
Yeah. That was actually the key song for this album. And it's called Living Life to the Fullest. And it's dedicated to Lemmy. And it was when I flew to Lemmy's funeral. And the song just, we're coming out like out of nowhere, out of a broken heart. And I was in the plane thinking about Lemmy, and I loved him so much. Like, we all loved Lemmy so much. And then the melody and the lyrics, they were all there. And I sang it on my cell phone. And then I called my friend Andreas Brun, who I was working with for over 22 years. And I said, Andreas, I have this song. I want to record it right away. And I flew to Hamburg, and then we recorded it. And I think it came out pretty nice. It has like a marching drum, Lemmy was always into World War stuff. He collected stuff. And,
he was a funny guy.
He was awesome. So that was the first song for Lemmy. And then the whole record is in the spirit of Lemmy, and it's dedicated to Lemmy Kilmister. It says it in the booklet of the CD. And and then we recorded another song connected to Lemmy. It's a Motorhead song, Lost in the Ozone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I loved it so much. And and it has so sad lyrics, man. Lemmy wrote the saddest lyrics. It's
like intelligent lyrics, I would say.
Yes,
very
yes.
Smart lyrics. 1916, for instance.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
It's like a movie in the song.
Yeah. And I felt the same about Lost in the Ozone. And I think there's some of the saddest sentences in this one part. He said, I turned my face to God, but his face was turned away. And then da-da-da-da, nothing more to say. And, oh, God. So, every time I heard it, I had to cry.
Yeah.
It was so
Speaking about lyrics, there's a tradition for you to include a song in German as well.
Yeah, if it doesn't come out, that's cool too. But this time, it came out, and it's a song about deep friendship. That's always my main thing. Since I'm not married, and you could say it's a love song too, but it's more a song about true friendship, which will last forever.
Yeah.
Sorry, my tour cough.
And there you go.
And it's called Freunde fürs Leben, that means friends for life.
Yeah. That's how I you had one for immer.
For immer. Same subject, kind of. That was maybe more a love song. I sang it many times, you know, for people's wedding and weddings and, you know, and biker festivals, you know, for people to get married and people fell in love and in churches I sang that song.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I still love that. And that was the first song in German, English, and Spanish sentence. And yeah.
We're going to have to finish off now. And we always finish with what we call the cringe song. It's a song that you're really ashamed of liking, or at least you wouldn't tell your friends that you really like this song. Do you have a song like that, that you wouldn't really brag about liking, but you do like it?
Oh my God. You can cut it, right? Because I have to really think about it.
Could be something from your childhood, something you remember. It's a cheesy song, but I like it, you know?
Yeah, actually, I went many years to write songs in Nashville. And Nashville is like actually the mecca of country music, but you can find the best songwriters. And I did one record in Nashville. It was called True at Heart. And I think there's the most soulful songs on it. Fall for Me Again, Fortune Teller. I think they're really great songs. And I tell you, while I was in Nashville for many years, then I always went back for actually 16 years. I went back for songwriting. And I tell you, believe it or not, I fell in love with some country songs.
Not unheard of. There's some pretty good country songs.
Pretty good. And back in the day, I loved Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
And he had like these storytelling songs and they were like so wow, you know, they went in so deep. One song I really like, and maybe not people on, you know, I understand when people don't understand it, but I fell in love with the song. And I think the lyrics are so great. They're so real. And it's by Garth Brooks, The Thunder Rolls.
And on that note, we say thank you, Doro.
Thank you so much for
having me. Dankeschön.
Dankeschön.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.